I'm Jenny Galluzzo, co-founder of The Second Shift. Welcome to our podcast where we talk all things women, work, and well-being, how they intersect, our competing forces, and how to create and maintain personal and professional alignment in your life. Let's do this. This episode of the Second Shift podcast is a little bit of a departure from some of the things that we've talked about in that it gets a little more political. We're outside of the realm of work or well-being. We're really deep in women, and this is about reproductive agency, because we're talking about the clutch kit. And the clutch kit, I think, is such a fabulous invention. My friend Lisa and two of her girlfriends created this nondescript pouch that looks like you would put your toiletries in it and you would travel with it. But inside, it's what's important. It's condoms, it's a morning after pill, and it's a pregnancy test. And the entire idea behind this is to prevent unwanted and unintended pregnancies. And I just think this is such a cool idea because it sits in the middle ground between pro-life and pro-choice, because it's about prevention. And I think about somebody I know in college who a condom broke when they were having sex, and they had to go to the campus health services and they wanted to get the morning after pill, and they felt like, you know, they didn't want to tell their parents because there's a lot behind it. And then the bill came a few months later, home to the parents, and she was busted. And not that there was anything wrong or that it was, you know, there was nothing wrong, but it was just incredibly embarrassing on all sides. And so to head off that conversation, to make it just like, you know, we don't even have to talk about it. You can get one of these clutch kits for kids going to college, kids in high school, just like boys, girls, have it in the room. Here you go. Here it is. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to ask about it. I mean, those are items that are hard to get, especially if you're in reproductive deserts or places where abortion care is really hard to find, or maybe you live in a really small town and, you know, the pharmacist is a family friend. You're going to run into somebody you know. There's fear. There's embarrassment. It's expensive. And there's also a very narrow window in which, if there's an emergency, it works. And so to stop that really uncomfortable, cringy conversation up front or after when that bill comes home and you're like, hey, is there something you want to talk about? Everyone should get the clutch kits for the college kids and the high school kids they know who are even before you're sexually active, because we live in a world in which reproductive rights have become politicized. So let's get in front of it. It's just about prevention. It's just about having the tools you need in a way that is readily accessible in case of an emergency, and that can prevent, I mean, if you think about it, the U.S., nearly 50% of all pregnancies that happen in the U.S. are unintended. So we need to get this into the hands of the people who need it. And that's why I'm so impressed by Lisa. I mean, beyond the fact that she was a clerk for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she has been a working lawyer, working on the board of Planned Parenthood. She's a real force for women's rights, gender equity, and I'm so impressed by her. And then she has three kids off, one kid home, and she goes about to become an entrepreneur and create this thing that what they're trying to do is, you know, of course, sell them, but also donate them into colleges and to people who need them, or you can donate it as a gift. So all of the information is in the show notes. And if you know of programs that could use this, they have a lot of them that they want to donate to the right organizations, the right schools, the right groups. So we've got graduations coming up. I'm going to be giving them to all the kids I know. And it's a great gift for your kids going off to college or going off to summer programs. Stick it in their bag. They don't need to even know about it. Just put it in there. And make life easier so you don't have to have that conversation really all the time. And no one wants to have it, but you just are providing the tools needed so that everyone is safe and everyone feels empowered for their sexual life and reproductive journey. I just want to start off by saying I've always had such tremendous respect for you as somebody who, like, you know, is so smart and puts your energies into the things that you really believe in that give like purpose and meaning and are helpful to people. So starting a brand new company on the side of all of the other things that you're doing, the boards you sit on and the, you know, four kids and you're a working lawyer. And here you are doing something that's like for the better good and really trying in your own way to make a difference. So where does that come from? where does that come from? And has that always been your way?
Well, I certainly never thought that I was going to be an entrepreneur at my age, but I have always felt passionate about gender equality and reproductive rights throughout my life. I think I grew up with a belief that one should always do something, whatever that is, to try to make the world a little better. That you have an obligation to help move our country, our world in a better direction.
And now you're putting your efforts and your time into Clutch Kit. And Clutch Kit is such a smart idea because it's about preventing unwanted pregnancies, preventing unintended pregnancy so that we don't have to get into the all of the morass of the morality and, you know, legality of abortion and all of that conversation if you get in front of the problem.
Yes. No, I do think that focusing on the prevention of unintended, unwanted pregnancies is a great place to be. To me, it is the middle ground between the pro-choice and pro-life movement. Everybody should agree that preventing unintended and unwanted pregnancies is a good thing. And we have, I mean, in this country, over half of the pregnancies in this country are unintended. That those numbers tend to be higher, as you might expect, with young women and women of limited means. And, you know, globally, our country has the highest rate of unintended pregnancies of any industrialized nation, which strikes me as just an embarrassment. and, you know, a really sad fact, like we're better than that. And so having the tools to prevent unwanted and unintended pregnancies in the first place strikes me as a good place to start.
Well, you have three college age kids and one in high school. So I just wonder if that's where the idea of the Clutch Kit came in, trying to figure out how to sneakily give them the tools that were needed, men and women.
That's not where the idea came from, actually. The idea originally came from a discussion that I was having the night before. There was a big women's rights march in Washington, D.C.
And well, I was there.
Yes, I know you were.
Oh, I was there. It was like one of the highlights, that march.
It was great. It was great. Even steps like that are, I think, just terrific in terms of getting engaged and trying to make the world better. But the night before that march, I had had a dinner in Washington, D.C. with Justice Ginsburg and Gloria Steinem.
And of course you did. That's because, you know, who wouldn't?
I was lucky. I was so lucky. Dinner.
I enjoy that. As like the, and then, you know, Gloria Steinem was saying, okay, I like that.
Patriarchs of the women's rights movement, just awesome, and I have such profound respect for. And there were a number of other women there who were speaking at the march the next day. I was sitting next to one, and we were talking about this idea: what if we just gave women a kit that gave them the tools that they needed, so that, you know, they weren't beholden to these politicians that are making decisions about their body and whether and when to have kids. So we talked a lot about that idea that night. It was a big kit, had a lot of tools in it at the time. And then after the Supreme Court's decision came down, I thought, you know, I think I'm just going to narrow the focus here and produce a kit that just has the tools to prevent unintended and unwanted pregnancies. My kids were not really part of that thought process. That said, I do think, and I have talked to them a number of times about always being thoughtful and responsible, but I do think that the crutch kit is a great item to have in college, to take to college. I mean, we're really all about empowering young people to live their dreams. And we've encouraged mothers and fathers to give this crutch kit to their daughters and sons. And we've got notes that they can click on if they don't want to write their own, but to write a message about, hey, you've worked so hard to get into college. I want you to achieve your dreams. And here's a toolkit if you ever need it. I've got your back. So there is that idea of gifting.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like you think about, you know, parents send their kids off, their daughters off to camp, let's say, and they put like tampons in their bag because they're like, just in case you need it, you know, you're thinking ahead about just the natural course of life. And maybe it's an uncomfortable situation, but you figure out ways to sneak it in there. Right. And it's the same idea in this, like kids are going to have sex. Like, let's just be honest about it. And they are going to learn in school about contraception. I mean, hopefully they are, depending on where they live and the school district. But this is a situation that could happen to anybody. Yes. So it does, and it does.
Yes.
So get in front of that situation. Yes. Think ahead for your children. It's like, oh, you have a sweet 16 birthday party. Like, here's a goodie bag. You know, you don't have to use it. You do. No one has to know what's inside. And what's funny is you said it came with a lot of things, but your clutch kit really, if you think about it, it only has three things. That's it. It takes three little things to prevent an unwanted pregnancy and to save so much heartache and loss and logistics and pain and trauma if you head it off.
Right. 100%. I mean, look, it's clear that not everybody plans ahead, especially when you're young. And there are many accessibility barriers to trying to get some of these tools if you're in a tough situation. So if you have had unprotected sex, you know, meaning either you failed to use contraception, the contraception broke, or you were sexually assaulted or raped, having the tools to prevent an unwanted pregnancy in your dorm room so that you don't have to try to go out and find them is a really positive step toward being responsible and thoughtful about your life and your future. We have talked to a number of young people and they talk about the cost of the morning after pill, which is significant, the inability to find it. There are some 8,000 zip codes in our country that are considered contraceptive deserts where you can't get emergency contraception. Pharmacists and pharmacies in many states, especially red states, do not have to carry it. And it can be really embarrassing. There's a lot of stigma around trying to get the courage to go to a pharmacy and ask the pharmacist. It's sometimes behind lock and key for the morning after pill. You might be nervous about seeing people that you know and what they might think. I heard from a friend whose company owns Plan B, which is the dominant morning after pill, that the most often purchased item along with Plan B is a bottle of water because women are taking it in the parking lot of the pharmacy.
That goes to the point of also the time frame.
You
don't have a lot of time to be figuring out how, where, why to get this, especially if you're, you know, panicked and young or you're someplace that it's inaccessible. Having it available to you just takes away all of the thought.
Yes. I did do a little bit of research about, you know, numbers of young people who are sexually active, and it turns out about 40% of high school students report being sexually active. So, you know, we don't know how accurate the reporting is, but about 40% report being sexually active. And then in college, university, around 60% report being sexually active. And some parents have said, well, if I give my kids contraceptive tools, is it going to make them more likely to become sexually active? And all of the research out there dispels that notion. It does not encourage kids to become more sexually active. What it does do is encourage kids to be more responsible. And so at the end of the day, I think giving them this toolkit is just giving them the support they need to live the life that they want to live and pursue their dreams and have a fun and successful life, have kids when they are ready and able to do so.
And what does a clutch kit cost? If I know that there's a lot, and I want to get into the donation side of it because I think that's awesome. And I'm trying to help you guys to get to Robinhood, so the women who can get in front of the CUNY system. And I know you're trying really hard to get in through donation to schools, universities, all over the place.
With respect to the donation question, there are two opportunities for donations. So since day one, we very much wanted to make sure that we could provide this clutch kit to women of limited means. The clutch kit, you asked, the cost of it costs $60 right now, which is really the price of one morning after pill, the dominant brand. But we have always wanted, we've always been on a mission really to get this clutch kit in the hands of every young person across the United States, but especially those in red states with limited means who have limited options. So we've done two things with respect to donation. We've built into the margin, when you buy a clutch kit, Jenny, part of the proceeds from that purchase will go toward giving a clutch kit to somebody who can't afford one. And we have also put on our website an ability just to donate kits directly. So if you don't know any young people that you want to send this to, but you would like to make a donation of kits to those in need, you can do so on our website.
That's fantastic.
We're excited about that. In the future, we're in the process of setting up a 501c3 so that we can take larger donations that are both interested in education and distribution of clutch kits. You know, just on the education piece, Jenny, I think you're very familiar with what emergency contraception is versus abortion medication. But so many women my age did not grow up with emergency contraception and are confused by exactly what it is. Emergency contraception prevents a pregnancy, and it prevents a pregnancy from ever occurring by delaying ovulation so that there's no fertilized egg, there's no implantation, there's no pregnancy. Whereas abortion medication terminates an existing pregnancy. So emergency contraception is legal in all 50 states, whereas abortion medication is not. So we think that, you know, emergency contraception is a great tool to help women across the country get the healthcare that they need.
And I have two sons. So just to make the point, it's not just about the women. This is a great gift to give your son who maybe doesn't really know as much about emergency contraception and just all of the intricacies that go into pregnancy, but they do know that they are unintending this pregnancy. And so it's good to teach them responsibility. We teach them consent and we have to teach them responsibility as well. And so having that tool with them, they're too young now, but in the future, I feel like it's something that would be a great tool to give all the boys going to college too.
I completely agree.
It's not just college, it's high school as well. Yeah. Like college is obviously a starting off place in a person's life and, you know, just like the age, but this is also high school because there's people who also don't feel comfortable in their own homes discussing this with their parents. And this is an available tool for them as well to just have in their house.
Absolutely. And, you know, we did a focus group last summer of high school students, college students, and those who had graduated. And we found the high school students were particularly interested in getting a clutch kit because it's so much harder for them than it is for college. And
your home and your house, you're living in your town or your city. It's just, you feel really young. I get that.
Yes. I mean, in fact, I was making a sample clutch kit before this focus group, and I went to the local CVS and I was putting products into my cart, including the morning after pill and pregnancy tests and condoms. And a friend of mine walked into the pharmacy and looked at my cart and said, "Hey, Lise, big leak. And I remember my face turning bright red and, you know, we laughed about it, but I thought, gosh, if I'm embarrassed, imagine how young people feel trying to get these products. So I do think that young people are particularly interested in having these products just in case. I've been really excited to hear such a positive response from so many mothers of boys. They really do want to equip their sons with the tools to be responsible partners and part of this movement. I think they also like the idea of having, you know, having an excuse to talk about it.
That's true.
Teachable moment. Let me talk about this cool gift I'm about to give you. And by the way, the reason that we called it Clutch Kit, which is sort of a fun thing to start with for parents, because all parents have issues talking about sex with our kids. The reason that we called it Clutch Kit is because of the expression of that generation when they say, oh, that's so clutch, or what a clutch move, or, you know, he's a clutch king, when you've got the tools in a tricky situation to do the right thing.
I love it. Okay, can we switch gears for the rest of this interview? Because I have so many other personal questions to get into this with you. I just want to like start your personal journey, right? So like, we got to go back a little bit to RBG, because I've never gotten to ask you all the questions that I have, but you were a clerk for RBG. And so I would love to know what that was like and just how did that come to be? And just, I have so many, I don't even know what the questions are, because I'm just like, the idea of it is so mind-blowing that I don't even know. It's like, not, I can't even comprehend it.
Yes, you're so kind to say that. I mean, look, clerking for Justice Ginsburg was a...
I mean, clerking for any justice is such a major deal that you would even have done that. But then that you got to do for Justice Ginsburg is just insane.
I feel so lucky. I mean, it really was such a highlight of my professional career. I had, because I had spent a little bit of time at the ACLU in women's rights and reproductive freedom, it was called at the time, before going to law school, I knew of Justice Ginsburg's work. I knew that she had brought case after case in front of the Supreme Court establishing gender equality before the law as we know it today. And when I went to Stanford Law School, I really wanted to be a law clerk, both on the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court, but I really wanted to clerk for Justice Ginsburg because she had been a hero of mine before the whole notorious RBG movement came about. And when you apply for clerkships, you are submitting your grades, writing samples. I had the honor of being the president and editor-in-chief of the Law Review, so that helped. And you apply to the Court of Appeals and the justices on the Supreme Court. And if you're lucky, you get an interview, which I did. I met with her in her apartment at the Watergate in Washington, D.C., and had a wonderful conversation with her, almost a two-hour interview, I think, where we talked a lot about gender equality. When I did get the clerkship that year, that was in October term of 95-96, you never know what cases you're going to get when you clerk on the Supreme Court. There could be dead spuds, or there could be really interesting constitutional, meaty constitutional issues. And I lucked out, we lucked out that year. And one of the cases that came to the Supreme Court was a case called United States versus Virginia, which involved VMI, Virginia Military Institute, which was an all-male institute. It was a state-funded institute. So the United States Constitution was at play. And a number of women wanted to attend and felt ready and able to attend VMI. But VMI had done something rather strange. Because they didn't want to admit women to their institution, they had set up a separate but substantially equal school for girls. And of course, it was separate, but not
equal. Well,
equivalent. Yeah. At all. So they brought this case on equal protection grounds that it was violating the equal protection clause of the 14th Amendment. We heard the case. So I spent some time researching the case, writing a bench memo, talking to the justice about it. And after oral argument, she was assigned to draft the opinion for the court. which was both thrilling and a little bit terrifying because she knew absolutely everything there is to know about gender equality. And as you may know, and forgive me if this is too heavily legal, but racial classifications get the highest level of scrutiny by the Supreme Court. You have to have a compelling reason for those racial classifications. Gender classifications were subject to an intermediate level of scrutiny. You just needed an important reason for that gender classification. And we looked back at some of the language and previous opinions and pulled from that. And Justice Ginsburg articulated a standard that if you want to have a gender classification, you have to have an exceedingly persuasive justification for that classification. So you really have to have a good reason to keep women out of a certain institution or policy. And she also noted that VMI was unique, that it was the only place like it in Virginia. And so women who really wanted that sort of military education could not get it without being admitted. She got a great majority for that opinion. It was a 7-1 lineup. Justice Thomas had recused himself because his son attended VMI, but Justice Scalia was the lone dissenter. And as you know, he was a very good friend of hers. So she got a strong majority for that case, and she announced it from the bench, which was very exciting. And years later, the justice and I went back to visit VMI and meet some of the first women cadets at the school and some of the current cadets, which was really fun and exciting.
What do you think that Justice Ginsburg would think about your new career as a side hustle, as a reproductive warrior entrepreneur?
Look, I think she always admired the work that I did for many years in the reproductive justice space. And I think she would think of this as, you know, a good step in the right direction in terms of giving women more tools to lead the lives that they want to achieve equality. For me, this company is really about gender equality and making sure that women can achieve that equality without sort of having agency taken away over their decisions. Does it solve all problems, though? No. And she has obviously very much of a legal focus on making sure that the laws are reflective of equality in a way that our country has evolved over time and come to understand what equality means. So I think she would see it as a good step, but, you know, it's not solving all the legal issues out there.
Well, we're not going to get into Dobbs and Roe and all of that because that's outside of the purview of this conversation. But I will say that I would think, and you know, this is obviously just my opinion, that you're carrying on her work in some way by trying to find the loopholes or the avenues by which we can help women create equality, give people agency over their lives, and maybe subversively fight back for what we lost in Dobbs. So you're carrying on a long and storied tradition in fighting the fight. Things take time, the pendulum swings, and you know, we just have to keep moving forward towards equality and what we believe in, and hope that the world follows along with us.
Yes, no, and I think, you know, that's nicely said, and thank you. I do think that she, you know, she used to always say, stand up for what you believe, but do it in a way that brings others with you. And I do feel that there is something very compelling about focusing on this solution, one of many solutions, obviously, but focusing on this solution, because it really should be one that everybody can agree on. Preventative health is an approach that makes so much sense financially and just for people's lives, that it is thinking ahead, encouraging responsibility, encouraging others to be both empowered and sort of take control of their lives. You mentioned agency. You know, I think the country has slowly been taking away agency from young women. And I think it's really important to give them the tools to have that agency. So I do think that it's heading in a good direction. I'm excited to sort of combine my two interests in gender equality and business and to try something new.
And make a difference. Do something with purpose. And your whole career has been that. So I thank you for doing that on behalf of women. I'm doing that on behalf of boys and just for the betterment of society and equality. We need more people like you doing the work. Oh,
so kind.
Thank you so much for joining the conversation. For more, you can follow along at thesecondshift.com. Please rate, review, subscribe, and help us make work work for you and for all women.